I got to spend, Nick gave me a half hour and turned it into an hour. And first of all, Colonel, thank you. And then he said, call me Nick. And then the second thing he told me that you guys all need to know.
Do push-ups.
Drop and give me how many?
Yeah, you're in pretty good shape.
Well, you know, it used to be better. But he's the one in really good shape. Yeah. And you need to get him to take you chucker hunting. Because Nick said, I go every year and go pheasant hunting in South Dakota.
South Dakota? A lot of chuckers.
In South Dakota or here?
South Dakota.
Yeah.
Well,
where is there?
You haven't chased a chucker until you've chased one in Nevada.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this, and then it's like that, and then it's like this.
You got one shot.
And what I need to do is get you with my son, then it'll be equal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll wait in the
truck. Yeah. But we'll wait down at the bottom.
Because I'll run to the truck as soon as you go up the hill.
With the defibrillator and the respirator.
We'll wait at the bottom of the ridge.
And I assume you've met Gil before.
I know Gil well. We're neighbors.
Oh, you are?
Oh, wow.
Oh, perfect. And Stan, have you guys?
Stan.
Okay, all right. Stan had a long, illustrious career in law enforcement with BLM and owned a horse that was at one time a feral horse.
No, he's a wild horse.
Wild again.
Feral.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He's wild.
I got the papers to prove it.
Okay.
Certified wild.
Yeah. And bruises.
And bruises.
So, are we live? Do we work?
We're live. We have 30 seconds.
We have 30 seconds? Oh, okay. All
right. I mean, do you want to wait or do you want to start?
Can I start?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to call a meeting of the Carson City Advisory Board to Manage Wildlife to order. Call the order determination forum. Carm? Tamar?
Chairperson Martin?
Present.
Vice Chairperson Zuber?
Present.
Member Powell? Member Valley? Member Young?
Here.
Quorum's present.
Thank you very much. Public comment. At this time, the public is invited to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Wildlife Advisory Board. Any comments? I believe that, Nick, I did put you on as an informational item as item 6, and we'll be there in just a minute.
Oh.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chairman, C.K. Bailey, Carson City, for the record, thank you. This is way off the agenda. What is happening? If you're not acquainted, and I think you are, with the proposed incline lake improvements, I just saw in the paper, I was one of those characters that decided to comment and that I was in favor of having a fishery in that area and to repair the dam, spend the money, and make it a fishery that is easily accessed by the public, that it is not just a biking, hiking trail, or just just take this genuine possibility and destroying it, just letting it go away, just leaving it alone, turning it into, which is going to cost money, a wetlands, if you will. There's nothing wrong with wetlands, don't get me wrong. But fisheries are hard to come by, especially ones that are easily accessed by the public. And this would have been a perfect cutthroat fishery, even though I am not a biologist and I can't make that determination just from experience of my lifetime, would have been a perfect addition to Nevada. And they're throwing it out. And I don't understand why. We could call it money. Guess what? They got money. Money can be found. They just don't want to. WANNA. That's how you spell wanna. They don't want to. So I'm perturbed. I'm saddened. It's a lost opportunity. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I have to agree with you. And there's a lot more than just money involved with that. So it is a shame. Any other public comment? I have one, and that is, at the end of the last meeting, it was announced that in the future, very soon, all of our meetings will be voice. There will be recordings available to the public as to all meetings.
start?
They'll be posted on the website, yeah.
Right.
We are starting to do that already.
Okay. And I just wanted to let you know as a public comment, because I know it's a small meeting and we occasionally will say a joke or something. Just be aware that you're
better be a good joke.
It better be a good joke.
Yeah.
Just be, if it's a good joke, make sure it's a clean joke. Thank you. So
there's others watching.
Approval of minutes from last meeting. I hope all have looked at it, and those that were here, if I could have, I do actually have a discussion before we have a motion. Tomorrow, I don't know if I said it that way or not, but my meaning was on item number 2, public comment, I noted that this day would coincide with the Ducks Unlimited event. I meant to say it might coincide, and please coordinate that way. So
okay.
I made a note right here. If you could change,
I'll change it right now.
Change would to might.
Okay. I see it.
Okay. Any other comments? If seeing none, so I could have a motion to approve, I would appreciate it.
So move.
Second.
And a second. Any more comments? Discussion. Call for the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 4, adoption of agenda. I see I have no changes. Anyone else like to then ask for a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
And if
second.
I could have a second, thank you. Any more discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Informational disclosures. Any board member wish to discuss or explain any context with the public or anyone else? I have one which I will pull forward and bring down to item number 7. And I had a discussion with Tim Thomas today, but it's germane to number 7 and number 8. So with that, I'd like to thank our new city manager, Nick Morano, to coming to our meeting. And it's kind of, we're deeply honored to have you here. We're excited with the direction of Carson City and really appreciate the time you spent with me and getting to know a little bit about our board. And so I'll turn it over to you. And board, I think we have a great new city manager. So thanks for coming in.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you. For the record, Nick Morano, city manager. Really enjoyed our conversation. Learned quite a bit. I enjoyed the book. I actually lent the book, I hope you don't mind, to Ann Bollinger, who actually knew the author quite well and was quite impressed with him. I think she had gone either to school where he was teaching or something, but she knew the author pretty well. So appreciate that. Gave me a good background. And I just want to thank everyone for the job you do here. I don't have a prepared presentation. I'll be happy to answer questions on either potential city programs or where I think we might be able to fit in a better way. But otherwise, I just want to come and introduce myself and meet you all.
I appreciate that. So why don't we see the board?
It was a question that, remember after the last meeting, in Fallon, Jack got to you and said, you know, how come Carson City doesn't have an outline for the closed area?
It wasn't closed areas. It was in reference to urban versus rural.
Oh, okay.
And so it was actually, a little history here was, there was a discussion about closing certain portions of Carson City as well as other counties, or not closing, changing the rules in urbanized areas. And we have in Carson City, Carson Rural, Carson Urban.
Sure.
And I brought that forward to him, and Jack actually said, well, you're a day late, dollar short. You should have brought that up a month ago or 2 months ago. So really, Nick can't help us out with that one. So what I really would appreciate and what I'd like to, and anybody else would like, you here's your chance to grill your city manager.
Another thing, where up where we live, it hasn't been bad this year at all. The bears have caused some damage to some of the trees that some of the local residents have, but they're, you know, searching for plums and apples now and whatever fruit they can get from the trees, and they're strong enough to pull the trees, some of the trees over. A few years back, we had a much bigger problem, not only in the Lakeview area, but in Timberline and even as far as downtown.
Oh, even Coogee Park.
Yeah. And so, working with the Department of Wildlife, the Carson Advisory Board was instrumental in talking with the city about enacting some bear nuisance legislation for the city to add to their municipal code, whereas, you know, somebody creating a nuisance by bringing their garbage out early, feeding, and now we have a state NRS that prohibits feeding of any wild game, which, you know, further reinforces the one that Carson City has on the books. And about a year after that, we had one of the code enforcement officers from the animal control come to the meeting and tell us what they were doing. And we asked the question, how many citations have you issued for anybody causing a nuisance? And she replied, zero, because they actually have to see the nuisance. And our trash pickup company, Waste Management, their people have been instructed if they see a garbage can tipped over, whether or not it was put out the night before or the morning, they don't really know, but they were instructed to clean it up. So if a neighbor complained, and you know, to animal control, by the time they got out there, everything was cleaned up, so there was never any evidence that somebody had created a nuisance. And we had a few people who worked certain days of the week in different parts of the state. So trash, like in Lakeview, is on Tuesday. So they would put it out, not Tuesday, but Sunday, when they would leave town and not come back until the following Thursday. So there was ample opportunity for the bear to get into it. So after a few of the neighbors talked to an individual up in Lakeview, she decided to buy one of those bear-proof containers, put it out there. Occasionally it was knocked over with the bears trying to get into it, but they've never been able to open it, not down here at Carson. I know we've seen some pictures and some videos that people have taken of the trash containers up in the lake area, where the bears have learned how to get the big dumpsters open, but they've never been able to learn the mechanics of the double latch that it takes. They haven't developed that dexterity. So we're doing pretty good. And what we really see happening, though, is they don't bother Lakeview. They go further down the hill, and they bother somebody else. So little by little, and then the department had a program of Bear Aware. And we had stickers to put on the garbage cans, don't put out the night before, wait for the morning, get it out before 7, and the guys would arrange their schedules. So in general, the problem is not anywhere near what it was that particular year. And I don't know if that was as dry a year as some of the ones that we've had, but you know, we've seen evidence of the bears in Lakeview. They leave calling cards on my lawn, and some people's branches have been broken. But so far, we haven't had a real, real serious problem that has caused a lot of damage. They've been in homes. People who leave a door open, they're curious. They'll get in.
Mm-hmm. So. I think with my discussion with our new city manager, I think he has some firsthand experience.
I have. And in fact, I'll that in one second. One of the first decisions I had to make when I got here on the June agenda, well, June was Barelogic Month, and we partnered with, I think it's Barelogic is the organization, advocacy group. They provide both an informational website, different type of brochures, handouts, and things like that. Because my thought was, this is more of an education and a communication problem. Yeah, I mean, if you're putting your trash can out too early and you're going out of town, okay, that might be an equipment problem. You might need a bear-proof trash can. But for the most part, I thought it was a communication problem. So I thought being able to partner with Barelogic to put the word out so that people who maybe in most years don't typically see bear in their area, they have a little bit more information that maybe people who live in Timberline or Kings Canyon or in Lakeview who are more typically encounter bears. I had two in my backyard so far since I've been here. It's kind of funny, I was talking to my wife on the phone, cell phone, and my neighbor called. And I was like, hey, honey, got to go see what Gladys wants here. I hang up, and she goes, hey, don't want to alarm you, but you've got a full-size adult male in your backyard. And sure enough, there he was. So I've done a lot of hiking in the Sierra, and I think personally, I have a very healthy respect for bears. I've never encountered one in an aggressive posture, and frankly, hope I never do. I think it's really communication is the key. I mean, we had down at the governor's mansion, we had a report of a bear down there. I think it was early July. So, I mean, they get around, they're looking for food. They have good food that they're able to get out of these trash cans. And
well, it gets even more serious as we get into November, when you're trying to eat 30,000-40,000 calories a day.
Right before they go into hibernation.
I heard last year they actually had a limited hibernation year, too.
They came in and out, right?
Yeah.
But the temperature was
fairly warm.
Yeah.
But yeah, good point. I think communication is key. I don't know if I see us actually adding to the animal control ordinance. I'd be happy to look at it in the future, but I haven't really seen something that would kind of warrant that. I think it's more communication.
Yeah, I think the papers do a good job also of letting the people know, because the Department of Wildlife and their outreach group, Conservation Education Department, is pretty good about making information, just like you mentioned, available. And I still have a box sitting on my bench in my garage of all the Bear Aware stickers and the pamphlets and the magnets and the things you can put on your garbage cans that don't put out, the night before.
Yeah.
So we might make those available.
Oh, absolutely. And, when that goes right into if there's any other comments, I do have. I just wanted to, again, wrap up here and say thank you. I know you have business to do. We don't get called on very often by city government to help city government. And I just wanted to extend that we're here to help you. And you're going, how can the advisory board for wildlife help us? And there's a lot of things. And let me give you a couple of examples. I know that the Department of Wildlife right now is managing a large pot of money called Pittman Robertson. In fact, the Pittman part of it, it was a senator from Nevada who teamed up with a senator from Utah. They created a tax on sporting goods and archery and firearms and ammunition, and a portion of that goes into supporting wildlife activities. The department, make it a short story, the department is sitting on some funds to increase hunter education opportunities in Carson City. They have a great idea about, and the city, well, they have a great idea, and we've met with the city, myself, Department of Wildlife, and your Parks and Recs people, and they have money that could take and build a controlled environment at our shooting range. We have a great shooting range, but if you've toured it yet...
Oh, yeah, I've shot them.
Okay, you've seen we have some problems with the openness of it. And what they're thinking about is, I think it's up to $250,000 to $300,000 over a five-year period to build a classroom.
Really?
To build a controlled environment, to can build a in access, and then actually putting somebody up there so that we can not have those problems. And so that's one area where I think we can help find opportunities for the city and help the city bring those about. And then the other one I was mentioning when you and I were together was when we overlapped with open space, and in fact, the constituents that we represent are primarily the sportsmen of the community. And one faction of the sportsmen, obviously, is Mr. Bailey. Another one was some people last meeting from the Sierra Nevada Retriever Club. And so we're open space, and what we do goes hand in hand. And so we can help the city get information, help direct it, and also help, for lack of a better word, market and sell it to the community. So in the past, we haven't had a lot of community communication with the city manager's office. Occasionally, Gil would go down and bother Larry. I may come down and bother you. But it's
never a bother.
But it
especially if you bring.
But it's a two-way street. We'd like to help the city, and we'd love to have feedback from the city if we're ever doing anything wrong, if we're doing something right, and we want you to think of us as one of your tools in your toolkit.
I absolutely appreciate that, and I'm going to take you up on it. I think you do have a lot of tie-ins with the open space. And or a lot of times with the Open Space Advisory Committee, because I do think some of the constituents who tend to make their voices heard the loudest as we're putting together a draft plan, if you haven't seen it yet,
yeah.
Should.
Right, yeah.
My guess would be the sportsmen probably were not the loudest voices in that process. So, I mean, I grew up hunting. I'm happy to help you advocate for that, and also for the fishermen. I'm happy to help you advocate for them and to make sure that their voices are heard as we put together plans, and especially when it comes to spending plans and things like that. And I would love your help in enhancing the range. I think it'd be great if we had a classroom and we could do hunter safety, shooter safety. Mm-hmm. And my sense from just a couple of days I've been out there, there's some people who could benefit from some shooter safety.
You're very...
No, I don't mean it.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, yes.
And I think I'm a little safety conscious, and yes. I think...
Yeah, it's not a way to run a range.
So be able to, and if we're able to keep someone out there, as part of the grant process?
Well, and in fact, I won't make you this promise, but when we talk to our local law enforcement officer for Department of Wildlife and suggested the possibility of something like that, he immediately raised his hand and said, boy, I'd sure like to consider being out there. And, you know, as my office and as my location. Wouldn't that be awesome, having somebody like him out there?
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I'd like to help.
Because don't we have a park ranger we used to have a park ranger.
Hourly. It's only hourly.
Right, and there's nobody there.
Yeah,
right.
It's only hourly
right.
work.
Yeah.
They're
and
not full-time.
Seeing that you are a hunter, we have a new constituent that we represent.
Right.
We're here to represent you also here, so,
okay.
On a personal level.
Oh. Well,
yeah. Thank you again. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time. It was great meeting you.
I'm sorry, CK?
Could I just, CK Bailey, way off the base, but on the base, is you see how many public people are here. So those that wish to be here are. And that's what I want to explain to you, because I'm sure you're getting hammered by by individuals who are saying, well, we need to communicate more with outside and get more people in here. That's already happening. It's those that wish to be here that are. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Again, for the record, Nick Morano. Look, it has become obvious to me in 3 months here that a lot of what we do, especially at the leadership level, like what you all do, is a coalition of the willing. And, you know, unfortunately, the broader community who needs to be a part of the process, as CK said, you know, the people who are here. So I think it's important that we look at the broader community and kind of, you know, build programs to support everything. But I don't know if I understood your question.
It wasn't a question. It was just a brash statement, because there are those out there that say that, for example, that this organization is not doing their job, or that they're not legally doing their job properly, because they're not out grabbing people off the street and dragging them in, when it is obvious, well-known, and in so many areas of communication, from Endow, web,
sure,
newspaper, telephone, those that wish to be here are. That's my statement.
So, I mean, it's a coalition of the willing. You could offer like a 2-for-1 drink special. I mean, that would probably play well here. That was a joke. That was a clean joke. Hopefully it met the chair's standard of being a good joke.
She's not very impressed.
He's talking to me, not to tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
Nick, thank you
anyway,
very much.
Anyway, so thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to meet you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Take care. I look forward to work with you all.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
We're going to have to get him out at the Kids Fishing Day on May 2nd.
I'd love to.
Oh,
love
yeah.
to have you out there, man. Okay. It'll blow your mind.
All right. I'd love to.
And in fact, just 2 weekends ago, at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation out of the shooting range, how many were there, John?
Almost 200. 200 kids.
Wow.
That's 140 adults. Seeking was there. Time flies.
Yep. Okay. Time flies. We were out there making it happen.
Yeah. So it was a great event.
So, you know, when he says there's not a lot here, there's a lot that actually we represent and we help pull together. Yeah. So, I mean, when you have 200 kids at an event,
I mean,
it was a blast. It was very successful, by the way.
Yeah.
I think.
So then we'll see you at Ducks Unlimited dinner, too.
When is that?
It'll be in May.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you were writing?
You want me to shove this stuffy in there?
You can leave it open. Thank you. Thank
it
you
is
very
getting,
kind of.
It is getting stuffy. All right. Item number 7, a report and discussion of points of interest from the most recent board. I brought something that I wanted to hand out, and I had a discussion with somebody about this. And I know there was a lot of discussion at the last commission meeting and our last board meeting regarding the demerit points for trespassing. And so I wanted to, there was a really good clarification that occurred, and there was a decent compromise that occurred at the meeting that made things, first of all, it was clarified. Let me just back up. The demerits were proposed to be 12, automatic suspension of hunting licenses for up to 4 or 5 year period for fishing, trapping, and hunting violations. Currently, it was hunting and fishing was 6, and fishing was 3. I mean, hunting and trapping was 6, and fishing was 3. I know one of the members of the public, specifically Mr. Bailey, had a concern about that, saying that, you know, to go from 0 to 12, actually it was 3, because if it's not mentioned specifically, it's always 3. To go from 3 to 12, especially when you don't know where so forth, and I know that that was a big part of the discussion. He was immediately pointed out at the commission meeting that this statute applies to the demerits, that you cannot cite somebody for violating the trespassing unless they're in compliance with NRS 207-200.
That's the owner of the property?
The owner of the property. So when you read this, and it was pointed out at the commission meeting, I'm going to borrow this because I gave mine away. When you read this, you have to, item number two, a sufficient warning against trespassing within the meaning of this section is given by any of the following methods. A, if the land is used for agricultural purposes or for herding or grazing livestock by painting with fluorescent orange paint, not less than 50 square inches of exterior portion of a structure or natural object, or the top 12 inches of the exterior portion of a post, whether made of wood, metal, or other material, at intervals of such a distance as is necessary to ensure that at least one such structure, natural object, or post would be within direct line of sight of a person standing next to another such structure, but at intervals of not more than 1,000 feet. And then it goes on and on. It gets into more detail. But the whole thing was that it's not the type of mistaken things as was brought up here and elsewhere and all the testimony that occurred at that meeting. Immediately, as soon as the commission got it, and as soon as our new head of law enforcement, Mr. Turnipseed, Tyler Turnipseed, Tyler was grilled on this, and he brought this out and said, I can't cite unless they're in compliance with this statute. I can't cite for trespass unless they're in compliance of that. So when that happened and that came down, it brought it down a level, I'm letting you know. So it was then also argued that, well, you could still make a mistake, or you could be a young kid, or you could be somebody who shot something and it went over a fence and, you know, you crawled in there just to get it and retrieve it, doing the right thing, so it's not one waste of game. I'll tell you that there were several members of the commission that still wanted to keep that at 12. Yeah. Oh, there were. Jack Robb was... He gave example after example, and so too Mike McBath. And the two of them were going, there are some real recalcitrants out there who just, and they do these egregious things. I think I've heard egregious about 60 times, and I can almost pronounce it now without, you have to go back and forth. But anyway, they wanted to keep it at 12. One of the commissioners, Jeremy Drew, wanted to keep it at 3, roll it back to 3, and take it back to the CABS to get further input. And he actually had a motion that died. And then they went back to Jack Robb, said, I want to get this done before I'm out of here. And so he said, what can we agree upon? And so they compromised and pulled it back to 9. You can then take a hunter safety class and get 4 removed. So you could go from 9 back down to 5. But if you violate it again, it would have to be...
As long as it's posted properly.
It would have to be posted properly. And Tyler said, my law enforcement people will not cite unless it's posted properly. And
they still have to get a conviction.
Well, they still have to get a conviction. Yeah. They won't cite unless
not
this
just
is...
Not cite, it's got to be a conviction.
I understand.
You know,
one thing
is the summons.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. So with all that said, back and forth, it passed with 9 demerits.
Question in your discussion with whomever you had this with, is the orange fluorescent paint a mark of no trespass, or there must be also a no trespass along with the orange fluorescent paint? So if I just take my
paint.
Post?
Just the paint.
That, so
but it's got to be at least how many square feet? I mean, square
40,
inches?
40 square feet?
No, 40 square 40 inches.
40 inches.
Well,
50 square inches.
50 square inches of a structure.
No, 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 on a fence post.
On a structure.
Oh, on a fence post, yeah. Yeah, 50 square inches, not feet.
Or the top 12 inches.
Or the top 12 inches.
Right. Of a post.
Yeah. Right.
So if it's just, if you see an orange post, that means it's posted no trespass.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And there was a lot of discussion about there are almost nobody that complies with this statute.
Yeah. I'm sure. As many fences.
I only know one post gets orange.
Well, I know. I could send you to some place that has over 100 of these such things,
right.
And they're all on plastic bollards, and they're within every 100 feet, and you can see them from every angle. I happen to know exactly where you could go, and it's a place called Stillwater Farms out in Fallon.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I know that because we read that. In fact, that board is meeting right this very minute without me, and that's why our other member is not here. He's meeting with them. So that's probably the only property I know of that
it's close to
your
property.
Yeah, right. It's not like it's a lot.
What do they do with, you know, this is great when you have farmland or buildings and fence posts regularly placed. The issue that we hear a little bit about, not an awful lot, with trespassing a fisherman.
Right.
When they're going down a stream.
Yep.
And they're, you know, above the high water mark or the.
That, this applies to that.
Same thing?
Same thing. Same,
yeah.
Same exact thing. And they even if you keep going down to B, if the land is not used in the manner specified in paragraph A,
by penny with
the
fish
and so forth, you still need to have, you still have to do it. So I don't know why they have one for agriculture and then one for not agriculture, but both of them still have to comply with that. So, after all of that, there was a lot of, I mean, every cab was there. Everybody was up in arms against that, trust me. And when the first thing, when this came out, I went, oh, well, that took care of a lot of the member of our public that had a concern. And then the second thing was they brought it back from 12 immediate. You know, so now it's two strikes and you're out. And it has to be conviction, as you said. So I thought that was actually a fair way to deal with the whole thing, and that's what the commission did.
You know, Mr. Chairman, Jack and Mike talked about the habitual rule breakers, and nothing is going to change them.
You mean the egregious ones?
Yeah, the egregious ones.
Yeah.
The egregious ones.
Egregious.
And it's like the story we hear that just one or two apples ruins the whole barrel. And most of the sportsmen are paying the price for a few that habitually and egregiously violate the laws. And it can put an otherwise rule-abiding sportsman into a situation through accident, through ignorance, or not observing what takes place.
Well,
and the 9 is not 12. And,
right.
And like you said, okay, I have to spend a week in going to class, or whatever the time is for the hunter safety course nowadays, to get it down to 5. But that individual is just in the wrong place at the wrong time, I guess, is the only way to...
Well, I appreciate that, and that discussion was held, and they came back to this statute here, that somebody who's just making a mistake, how can you not see the posting signs if they comply with that?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Right. Right.
This gets the gray area away.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be cited if he could show that, right. You see, I don't see the orange post.
And those things that you just talked about, where it was a kid who made a mistake and crawled under a fence or did whatever, that's where you go from the difference between a citation and a conviction. Because a judge will listen to that type of stuff. Now I'm not a lawyer, but I've seen how the legal system works. Yeah, John.
I was going to say that. That's what I was going to say is, if you're innocent, if it truly was a mistake, you go plead your case and fall on the mercy of the court and see what the judge has to say. Once again, it has to be a conviction. I just read an article in a magazine that said that one of the reasons that hunters are not applying for out-of-state licenses is because they don't truly understand the laws, because the laws in each state, the book is a true dictionary as to, like the orange top, until 20 minutes ago, I would have said, oh, somebody had orange paint. Would have never known. I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know that. And I know a lot. I've known a lot of game lately, but orange paint means somebody had fluorescent orange paint in a can and was too lazy to go get a sign. That's what that means to me. But not now, and I will then relay this on to my partners and say, you see an orange post? It's best you're on the right side of it.
Or it could be somebody just out there.
Could be someone
with
you can get orange paint
that wants to, set aside their mining claim,
yep.
That doesn't want anybody on it.
It's happening in Elko right now with trespass. With,
well,
owners.
You know, the interesting thing on this trespass is our state puts the burden on the homeowner, the property owner. And I hunt in Wyoming, as you know, and I mean, Wyoming is just the opposite. You don't have to post anything. You don't have to have a fence. You have a piece of private property. You hunt on it. You will be cited. You will be lose your hunting license. They are just the opposite. The landowner has no responsibility, period, to tell you that his property is there. And you may not go on it without his permission. And how do you know? I just purchased through a company on a GPS a map layer that shows me exactly where I am in relation to those landowners, and on top of that, for a mere $199, $99, it will tell you who that person is and that contact info, so you can call them and say, can I please have access to your land?
Ooh.
So our state, that's pretty good, for $99.
Wow.
That's, but our state actually puts the burden on them. In other states, it's on us. Right. So anyway, enough about that.
So that's got passed with nine?
Nine.
But with everybody being aware of the how the game is played.
Right. That was from law enforcement that was there. And anybody from the public have anything to add to that?
I do. C.K. Bailey, thank you very much, Doug, for letting me. Stan, I'll say, because you're not part of the Carson Fly Fishing Club, though some of the others, there's Gil and Stan. It appears, Stan, that we need to put this in front of our organization to let them know what's going on, because I'll guarantee you I was just as dumbfounded as a log about what was going on. And this is obviously, you know, NRS 207.200. I think this is violently important. We could get into trouble just so easily, it's not even funny. So maybe we need to state something at a club level where our constituents kind of...
We could do that.
Is that
a possibility?
Because monthly...
And my suggestion on that would be to get our good friend Jake to give you a paragraph or a sentence that you can hand out, because, what's that?
Yeah.
Or invite him to a meeting.
Yeah.
That'd be my suggestion on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Then the other thing was traffic. And that went on forever. The discussions were both Friday and Saturday. I brought up, and every cab voted against the 48-hour traffic check. Everyone stood up, and every cab
I even brought up the fact that when they put that map out, they're including a large segment of rural Carson City. And, you know, the one question that was asked several times and could never be explained was, why 48 versus 96? What will that do to reduce anything from being accidentally trapped?
I never considered that.
And nobody really explained that. And then when I brought up the rural part of Carson City, I was basically, after I gave my testimony and when it was brought back to the commission, Mike Macbeth actually said, the gentleman from Carson City brings up a really good point. I'd like to hear why we're including non-urban areas of Carson City. And then Jack immediately responded saying that this came in at the 11th hour, this information from Carson City, and if they really were concerned about it, they would have said something a month ago, 2 months ago. And I couldn't reply back or anything because it was already back to the commission. So was he right? Yeah. If you look at the way it was originally proposed, it also included 194, Douglas County. And the Douglas County cab, when it was proposed at 194, they said, what are you talking about? We're all rural in Douglas County. Why? And so they took that out of it. So the message I'm giving to all of us is that we need to jump on those things quicker. Because they did do that. They did take out Douglas County, if you remember the two maps.
Mm-hmm.
So was I right in saying that we didn't support that? Well, yeah. Was he right in saying, were you so late? I apologize. I wasn't paying attention to it. And we all need to pay better attention to that. So it went on, and it did get approved. And it was interesting because, follow on a little bit, last week, as you know, the commission was sued over their lack of action on trapping. And I will tell you that there was no lack of action on trapping. Mike Macbeth and Jack Robb were both there at the request of the governor to sit through the end of last month. They're now gone. Just to get this thing done. And they did pass the 48 hour. So, anyway.
But the question then goes back, Mr. Chairman, to the fact that you raised the point about what is this going to do to improve or make it less susceptible to trap a pet that doesn't keep a pet out of the trap. It doesn't change. It only makes it another hurdle for the people who are trying to maybe earn a living trapping or just because they've been trapping all their life, that their area that they can cover is that much smaller. Doesn't keep anything out of the trap.
Well, in fact, that very question and that very discussion occurred, and there were some people represented the trapping. There were three people who represented trapping there. Besides Joel, there were two others. And they basically, the response to that was, in these areas, like 192 now, we will pull our traps closer to the roads so that we can reach them within 48 hours. So therefore, what you're doing is you're bringing our traps closer to potential interaction with the general public, because they said, you know, like up here in the Virginia Highlands or over here in the Carson Range that are both in the new area, rather than someplace I have to hike for 4 hours to get to it, they're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So it was actually, the response to what you just said was from a interface with the general public. It was it's actually a negative response.
Yeah. they were happy with it.
No, no one was happy with it. Dr. Moldy, he got up and said, look, it's obvious to me that you people aren't going to do anything, that you should just say that you can't come to any decisions and you should just not pass anything. Now, if you remember,
a week ago,
he was part of a lawsuit saying they didn't do anything.
Right.
And Jack said, no, we're doing something. And then Joel Blakeslee immediately got up after Dr. Moldy and says, I hate to say it, but I agree with him. You should do nothing. And that was probably the highlight of the whole commission meeting. So that's what happened. They did approve the 48-hour in those two zones, southern and northern.
And the rest of the state?
The rest of the state is 96. There was no proposal to change the rest of the state.
Okay, so we're only really concerned with Washoe and Clark.
And Carson City.
Golly.
We're not part of the law.
Golly, jumping jobs.
Well, and you know, my recommendation is that we consider and see how it is, and now that we have a new commission, we can take an action saying we would like to have that regulation reversed. I'm just letting you know that we can do that, and we can make a petition to the commission. And in fact...
Go ahead. Okay. When you brought that point up, did you bring that up during the workshop?
Yes, I brought it up at the workshop, and I brought it up the next day at the...
Jack Robb's gone, but that should make... what's a workshop for if it's not to point out things that, you know, that are going to impact other people or have a change, you know, or things that don't work out?
Vice Chairman Zuber? You are point on, in my opinion.
I'm just saying. Just, you know.
I'm taking some, and our board should take some responsibility for not being more diligent 2 months earlier. But you're absolutely right. What's the point of a workshop?
Yeah, I mean.
And whether it was done at the workshop or you submitted something a month ago.
Right.
I don't understand that.
So I'm just letting you know, that happened, and my suggestion is that we consider it, and we consider some type of petition to the new new commission.
Or I guess we could find out what the new commission policy is going to be on accepting changes to proposals prior to workshops.
Well, I understand that. I mean, that's a side issue to this.
You guys can't take action. You know that, right?
Yeah.
We're talking.
We're not. We're just talking.
I just open meeting law.
Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there that maybe at a future date, you know, with a new commission, or if we're lucky enough to have any of them attend our meetings, to let them know that we could see what they're. Do they have a policy of that such that it has to be before the workshop?
I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but if you're going to submit a petition, you can submit
petition.
A petition.
Yeah,
anything.
Petition.
Well, and that's the last thing I wanted to report on because I'd like to move along. The last thing I wanted to report on was the waterfall regulations. Everything got adopted as proposed with one addition, and that is Mason Valley or Lyon County had a proposal to either reduce or eliminate the goose draw hunt at Mason Valley. And there was an option, it was option one, option two. The preferred option was just to eliminate it. The secondary option was to reduce it. And they eliminated the draw hunt at Mason Valley. So all I'm seeing here is that Mason Valley pulled it together. They had the right information. They went to the commission, and their petition was heard, and it was granted. So I'm just saying that if we pay attention to this trapping thing, we could follow a similar suit and just say, we understand what got adopted at that meeting. Carson City would like to have 192 rural removed from that. Thank you very much. So anyway, besides that, it was a very long meeting, and my lesson here is that I would like all of us to attend all of these commission meetings, not en masse, but individually. I think it's really good for each of us to see, A, the effect we can have, and B, also see the dynamic, and then also see where the problems are. It'll be interesting with a new commission. The new commission will be there in 4 days, 3 days, whatever. There will be a new commission, or there won't be a quorum. It still has not been announced by the governor.
Okay, that's
but
that's
somebody told me that there'll be another person, another member of the commission, like Commissioner Lane, that is not a hunter.
Well, and the same person told me that same thing. And just so the rest of you know, that would be Mr. Blakesley. But the thing is, by statute, five out of the nine have to represent sportsmen. No, four out of the nine have to represent sportsmen. One has to represent conservation, one the general public, and then one ranching and one farming. Now, the one that represent the only one that you could put in there that would not be a sportsman is the conservation. And that conservation one is currently filled by Dave McNich.
See what my
he's one of the ones whose term basically has expired.
Yeah, because he replaced somebody else.
Well, right. He is up for reappointment.
Right.
So that's really the only one that you could put a non-hunter or non-fisherman into.
Yeah, because Karen represents the general public, right?
Yes, and she is not up for reappointment at this time. She's next year. So whatever that one gentleman told us, remember, the only non-hunting, fishing, trapping representative is Dave McNinch. And Dave's doing a pretty good job representing other than sportsmen. He really is. He's you can tell he's not representing sportsmen often. Mm-hmm. So I really... This meeting you're going to, the next meeting you're going to, the meeting after is in February, and it's in Las Vegas, and I'll probably go to that, and then the one after that is on Seasons, and maybe you can go to that, but I'd like to get it rotating around, because...
I don't want to do it, I don't want to take off work to do it on Friday.
No, right.
That's my big thing. I'm going to go out Saturday.
So maybe you'll be on vacation.
In March.
We'll
get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind going.
If we can
go check on the door.
A weekend up, one person goes on a Friday, one person goes on a Saturday.
Yeah. That's not bad. It's just it might be beneficial to go to the workshops.
Yeah.
Right.
To see what's up. But so when you get into the meeting, you kind of don't raise your eyebrows and go, what? So you understand the background.
Right.
The support material is huge.
So let's table the rest of that discussion until we come down to item number 10, upcoming wildlife. So sorry to take up so much time on that, but because there's so... The next one is going to be the regulations they're proposing. I've gone through them. So let's just move to agenda item number 8. And this is the consent agenda. And what I'm wondering is if there are any items that would like to be dealt with individually, or if we would like to support them all as proposed.
I'd like to pull 8C.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the longbow and the disability issue.
Yeah, I go with that.
Yeah, I had a good discussion with the department about that.
Well, good. I'd like to
So why don't we have a discussion about that, and then we may want to keep it on the agenda, on the consent calendar after we have a discussion.
Okay.
So let's have a discussion, and then maybe we'll keep it on the consent.
Or so we're just going to discuss and then
why don't we
pull it out for a separate...
Yeah, why don't we discuss that right now with no removal from the consent. Just to let you know, I talked to Tim Thomas today, who's the archery coordinator. And I also talked to Teresa, I can't pronounce her last name, right. They're the ones proposing this. And there were two questions I had. First of all, on the crossbow, I asked if they were going to allow sights on them, and they said yes, because all of them are basically sold with scopes on them. And it's just such a small portion of the general herd, the public, that able to qualify for this. You need a doctor's note that you are disabled and that you cannot physically pull back and hold at draw
a bow.
Right. So I understood that. Then I had asked him another question, and that is on the definition of a compound bow at 80 pounds let off. And where he came up with 80, because as you know, they now have let offs up to 99%.
Really?
Yeah.
That efficient.
Yeah. And
what does that mean?
That means if you have a 70-pound bow,
okay,
and if you pull it back to its break point, as soon as you go past the break point on the cam. At a 99% on a 70-pound bow, that means you're holding a little less than a pound, 0.7 pounds. Okay.
How do they get that much efficiency out of that?
What was that?
At full draw.
Yeah.
That's when you break it over 70.
But then once the
camera rolls over,
I never shot one of those.
There's mechanical advantage.
Right. So I asked him why 80. Where did you come up with 80? Because actually, there are several bow manufacturers now that the bow can be adjusted. You can flip the cam, and you can go from, 70 to 90. Mm-hmm. Some of them are 70 to 90, depending on which way you have the cam, okay?
Percent?
Percent let off.
Percent let off.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And they picked 80. If you read the regulation, they picked 80. And so I just called them and I said, was this a nebulous thing? Where did you grab that? Is it by statute when it has to be 80 and so forth? He said, no. What we did is that we had a great discussion here in the department, and we came up with 80 because that's where Pope and Young is at.
Anything more than 80 will not qualify for Pope and Young.
Right.
Oh, because it gives you too much of an advantage?
Right.
Oh, really? Fair chase is not part of fair chase then.
Right. Right. And I said, well, there are bows out there that are made where you can flip the cams and go, it's either 70 or 90. So you're putting that in the hands of your law enforcement people to
determine,
to know that. And they said, we know. Because that's the only way you can change the...
When you say 70 or 90,
right.
70 pounds or
90? No, 70%.
Percent.
So if you're pulling 40 pounds and you have a 99% let off, you can truly hold it with a fingernail.
That's nothing.
Absolutely.
Well, in fact, I read some forums today on the 99%, and it was crazy because they were saying, people who know archery, and if you ever have shot a bow, if you ever just hold a bow, the bow's going like this, and it's kind of unstable. But when you have some resistance here, you become two pieces, and so you're really stable. And people are talking about when you're holding just 1% on an 80-pound bow, you're only holding less than a pound, it's not as stable. And people were talking about how crazy it is to shoot them, because it's like, it's like, why is it going to let go?
You got no resistance to pull against.
And the other thing is that they were talking in these forums about when you have a mechanical release, which
most people use.
You pull a trigger and that thing lets go.
doesn't let go right, and you have to really be so.
Yeah,
so the 99% are wacky, but so that, anyway, they described, and when he said Pope and Young is at 80, why shouldn't we be at 80? And that's really.
Okay. Let's go back and relate that to a crossbow.
No, different beast.
It, but it when the guy stands there and pulls the thing back, whoever
right.
cocks it for the disabled individual,
right.
the latching mechanism or the release, the trigger,
right.
how adjustable are those? I mean, do you get a 3-pound let off, or is it a, how much do you have to squeeze the trigger to?
Depends, some are adjustable.
Yeah, they're adjustable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Depends what version you get.
Right.
And the let off on those, some of those bows go up to 120 pounds. And they can shoot a bolt, they don't shoot an arrow, they shoot
right.
a bolt. The bolts can travel into the 450 feet per second mm-hmm. area. They're very flat shooting.
And they're very effective.
Very effective.
Oh,
very
yeah.
effective.
In fact, he told me today that 24 states now include crossbows in with the general archery.
General archery.
And not any legal weapon, but archery.
Archery.
Yep. Part of archery.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. We're now in the 50% of the states that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you brought that up about the crossbows in the states that have the general archery, when I was reading this, it was hitting me, when I was reading their background, they said they did their study work, the staff did on this, and what I would like for them to do now is take it, assuming that this is going to pass, which, I support it does, that they ought to continue looking at it and allow crossbows for the junior hunters in the archery, especially those that get junior tags, because I know in Pennsylvania, that's how you start out with because my niece's son was able to get his first deer, and that's what he had to use was a crossbow.
Well, that's interesting you said that, because that's another thing Tim said, is that there's another thing that they, some states have age criteria for crossbows. They basically say, if you're under this age or you're over this age, you may use a crossbow.
Well, and I guess, my idea behind that is, one, to get more youth out there using a crossbow, which at their early age may not be as well adapted during the archery season to use a bow.
You're talking to two people who have.
Well, I understand that.
Brought their bows.
I understand that, but we're also talking about people that have disabilities
right.
that were given a crossbow to, that we're going to allow to shoot a crossbow. And I just, it just seems to me that, to allow that to the youth was. Could only be advantageous.
Well, you're talking, I personally, and I know John too, have had 12-year-olds that shot better than us with standard archery equipment. So.
And the hard part of that is you don't send a 12-year-old 400 yards away to go through a canyon to shoot a buck or a doe
right.
or an animal.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always this proximity, and the chances of you getting within 30 yards of an animal, any
mm-hmm.
wild animal, at this, with two of us. It's hard enough to do with one, let alone a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
So the learning
yeah.
curve is huge, which
yeah.
I don't, I'm glad we did. Maybe 100 times 100. Because
yeah.
he had to learn to be half as quiet as dad. Because
right.
there's twice as many of us out there.
Right.
But I did spend the last part of the summer with a gentleman from Minnesota. And George is 83 and can no longer pull his bow. And he bought a crossbow because they can legally use a crossbow in that state. And I don't know if it was age limit or just he could have all along but didn't want to. But he got an injury to his shoulder, and there's no way he can pull his bow anymore. And it's only a 40-pound bow.
Yeah.
And I say only, but that's enough. And yet, I thought it was great. I was with him when he bought it, and he went out and he shot it. And he could, his was a crank, so it was like a ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
A ratchet up, because he didn't have the strength even to pull one up. Yep, no, he had to crank it up, and then this crank is removable, and he puts it away.
And I think that might be covered in here, John, because it says a permanent disability is defined to mean a disability of the upper torso, or the amputation of one or both arms. So a disability of the upper torso could be a shoulder problem, or any part thereof, which prohibits the person from manually drawing and holding at full draw a bow.
But his is an injury, not a disability.
Well, okay, no.
I know, it's a...
It says permanent disability.
It says permanent, and his is not permanent.
How do you mean?
He's healing.
He'd have...
He's doing Caravan right now. Deer season opens tomorrow. And so he had that option, so he chose that option this year. That's his choice.
All you need to do is, for this to occur, you need a doctor to say,
that's
you
right.
have a disability.
Absolutely. And right. I understand.
Yeah.
But I think what Stan's saying is, let's then look into maybe an age thing or something.
The other thing is with crossbows, I'm going back to my family member, same niece, but now her husband. Because when they were back in Pennsylvania, and a crossbow isn't that easy, and they're heavier and all kinds.
Yeah.
And he's developing a crossbow that won't have release springs out front. Basically, it's run off of coil springs, and his whole idea around it was because. Get that thing up into a tree stand where you're using a tree stand, and one, you got one shot, you're going to have to go down out of the tree stand in order to recock it again, and so now he's coming out this fall with a different, totally different, his marketing is that he's marketing one that will be able to cock up there, and it doesn't have the big bows out in front and things like that, but my whole point is that, one, a crossbow, as we're talking about right here, is not necessarily that easy. You may not be given a person with a disability that much of an ease to go out there and hunt. Because, like I said, they're heavier and I'll get out. And when I was using one, not using it, but just holding it and things, it seems like it could wear you out in no time flat. Really off balance and everything. But that...
Can you use the rest?
Still, if you get better, you're going to have to be able to, if you don't have either of both arms.
Yeah.
looking in there. But, I just think that, my whole idea is when my son was getting the junior deer tag, he could hunt all the seasons with the legal, with the legal weapons for those seasons. He can go after a doe or a buck and everything. However, the limiting factor was he good enough with a bow? Do we even have a bow, to where, that might up the, or I'd say lower the learning curve if a junior was able to use a crossbow. I don't care myself whether they're success out there. My whole thing is getting them out there, just getting them out there. I mean, I've hunted for 2 weeks with my son when he only had a junior tag, and he did take a shot. And that was the best time of my life with my son. And we did not come back successful from that and everything. And that's where, if we can get those juniors to go out there with a crossbow, I just think it just allows more of an opportunity.
Well, let me get them out there. Let me do a quick straw poll here or just see if there's enough of an interest to pull this particular item and have a vote on it separately. Just going around here, do any of you want to consider something other than what they're proposing at this time?
Not at this time. I just wanted to get the...
I think we all need to learn more about the possibilities.
I totally agree. The interesting thing is that I am an opportunistic, for lack of a better term, weapon selection person. I'll hunt with a muzzleloader, I'll hunt with archery, and I'll hunt with a rifle. And I do it so that I can up my odds of getting a tag. And so I want to hunt with the best technology equipment that they'll let me hunt with. Now, if I could put a scope on my muzzleloader with my 60-some-year-old
don't, so I can't, and therefore I'm limited on how far I can shoot, which I think is a fine thing. You know, I know my muzzleloader now will go to 175 yards, but I tell you what, these eyes through an iron sight cannot go to 175 yards.
Hitting that pie plate.
Not ethically.
Not exactly.
That bullet will get there.
Yeah, the bullet will get there.
I can't guarantee you it's where I was aiming.
Right.
But I thought I was aiming.
So I only mention that because, you know, if they up this and if we change archery to include compound, I know it will pick up more people.
Right, you mean to include crossbows?
Yeah, if you bring crossbows into archery, if that's what.
But it may reduce the number of attacks. Because
it would reduce, because success would go up.
It will.
Yeah.
Then it'll reduce the number of arrows.
So I think there's a lot
that's
of things
what happened with muzzleloaders.
Yeah. To think about before, you know, we go and address that. But it's points well taken. So seeing that nobody wants to,
just because I don't think that to make a separate motion to put what I was talking about in here is appropriate at this time. I just was bringing that up to at a later date. You know where I'm coming from or where it all, you know,
sure.
happening. And maybe we'll be voting on another one.
Then. From your discussions, why is there still the reluctance to permit scopes? No, well, that's a separate question, but with
archery equipment?
Yeah.
Well, Pope and Young doesn't allow magnification on archery equipment to comply for that, but that doesn't matter because if you shoot something with a scope on a bow, which you can get magnified.
No, I've seen them.
Whatever for archery, you can't. Well, you're not supposed to submit it to Pope and Young. You would be lying to Pope and Young if you submitted it.
Use
if you shot it at an optical sight. Really, I think why scopes aren't is because of what John just said. The sportsmen of Nevada understand, or I think where John is going is the right reason, is that if you increase the advantage much more, you're going to be decreasing the opportunity.
Oh, okay.
My opportunity to get a tag is more important than when I get a tag that I can shoot to 175 yards with my muzzleloader than just the opportunity of going.
No, I mean, it makes sense because when I hunted muzzleloader in Arizona, you could use a scope.
Right.
And I never, it was a long story, but when we put in for tags, I didn't realize that we got drawn for muzzleloader until maybe a month before the hunt was, because, you know, we put in as a group and we all got.
And all of a sudden that learning curve came into play.
Oh, yes. My wife looked at me. My wife went to the range with me because she had nothing else to do. And she says, "You're going to hunt with that?" And I said, "Yeah."
Okay, so.
So do we need a motion to accept it?
No we're going to do that.
We're not going
to. We just had a discussion about all of them, and now we're back to.
We're not going to discuss any of the others.
Right. We're back to item 8. So let's take it back to item 8. And do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda as proposed?
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda as proposed.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Any comments from the public?
Yeah.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, I can't hit the broadside of a barn door with a doggone bow and arrow to save my soul. So this crossbow idea intrigues me. It doesn't matter the weight, size, poundage, or any of it. When it's bad enough seeing these 12-year-old kids kicking my rear end with a bow when I can't even hardly put the arrow in the string. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, and I'll respond to that. I normally don't respond to comments, but if you have a desire in the state of Nevada to hunt with a crossbow, that opportunity does exist. If you get what used to be referred to as a rifle tag, which is now an any legal weapon tag,
whoa,
you may hunt with a crossbow with a scope.
I don't need a scope.
Well, they come with them.
They do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
With a scope. They also hunt with a muzzle loader with a scope.
Scope, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll let you use mine.
There you go.
Just sell it to you, Chief.
Is it 50 caliber? What is it?
Yeah, 50 caliber.
No, thank you.
So anyway, you can use that opportunity does exist for you.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Scared the shit out of
very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
So, bring it back. Any other discussion comments? No. Seeing none, I'd like to call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So, item 8 is just taken care of.
I just noticed something on item 8, which that's why I asked. It said that no public comment unless an item is pulled.
Right. Right. I took my chairman prerogative because that does say that in the back that I can.
Yeah, it does. Right here, too.
Right.
It really wasn't a very good comment. it could barely be considered a comment. Thank you.
So, moving on to item number 9. That's the rest of the agenda. If you guys can find something else on the agenda that we didn't already discuss, then good for you. And then secondly, would you like to talk about that now? Do we have any further discussion about the agenda?
No.
Seeing none, I'd like to move to item number 10, discussion regarding advisory board commitments for upcoming meetings. Gil, you understand that the next meeting, I don't think, starts until 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, but I already bought the ticket, figuring it's going to start at 9.
Yeah,
no, so I'm getting there early anyway.
Are you going down that day or the day before? Okay.
I'm going to go out Friday morning.
You're on a field trip then?
Yeah.
That's all there is.
That's all there is on Friday. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you have a dinner.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to go because I had, supposed to look at dogs after the meeting.
Okay. All right.
But what are those?
Okay. And then our next one is, I think, November 15th and 16th, Stan?
14. Yeah, oh, it's right here.
Oh, it's right there, yeah.
Yeah.
And ours is the 10th.
10th.
And your calendar is still, you will be attending that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're meeting on Veterans Day? That's the 10th.
I thought it was the 11th.
Oh, maybe it is. Veterans Day, actually. I will not be here for that meeting. Back east.
Yeah, I think they keep Veterans Day on the day, don't they?
Mm-hmm. It's the 11th.
It is the 11th.
It is the 11th.
Yes. Okay, all right.
It is the 11th.
But you won't be here anyway.
I'll not be here.
Okay. So either day, we don't have your smiling face.
Yeah, I got it on my calendar. It's the only thing there, so.
Okay.
Should right. Stay that way.
Okay. And then we won't worry about February until February comes around. But right now, Gil, just let you know. I think I'm going to go to that one, if you don't mind. You don't have any financial at that one, I don't think, committee.
I don't think so.
No. Okay. All right. And then I would like to get somebody to, besides you or myself or Stan, to go to another meeting, and Jim, too, because it's so important to see what the dynamic is.
Yeah, you have to know the players.
You have to know the players, and you got to see what we're up against when we go to these things.
Well, I think, when Carson introduced that petition for party hunts in and out of state, mm-hmm. it was a learning experience and getting to know
the commissioners and learning the history of petitions that had been submitted similar to what we were trying to do.
Right.
You know, played a big role in getting it accepted by the CABS and by the commission. So if we're going to do this, we just can't pull it out of our back pocket at the last minute. We need support.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's good to know the players.
Yeah.
My hope and desire is that, and I'm pretty sure that Jeremy will be reappointed. I'm pretty sure. And I'm hoping that he will become
the chair.
Yeah. I think Jeremy is, of all of the commissioners that I saw and witnessed, he, among all of them, really listened to the CABS. Others do, too. But
yeah.
But Jeremy is excellent. He's a good speaker. He doesn't.
Excellent writer, too.
Excellent writer, and he doesn't just shoot from the hip. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think somebody, you know, like Macbeth will be definitely missed because of the research that he does on all these issues that come up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really digs into the details.
I think Jeremy,
I'm not saying Jeremy doesn't. But I think
it'd be good to see who replaces him.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know. So I think we've already moved into item number 11. Informational next meeting is the 14th and 15th, and our meeting is the 10th.
Do we have a schedule for what they're
year,
where they're having next year?
Yeah.
We do have that.
Yeah.
Usually they're packed up here in Reno because of the legislature.
Well, they already have them on
a separate legislative meeting, possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They already have them posted on their webpage where and when they are.
I thought that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. They did 2 years worth of scheduling.
Right. Right. And they only changed one this year, so that's not bad. The Tonopah meeting.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Item number 12, future agenda items. I don't have anything on my specific calendar for that. Anybody else? Or agenda?
Do you want to get the city back in to talk about, like, the Ash Canyon Road? I know they were here, two meetings ago, or Juan was here, a couple meetings ago, talking about the development.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been up there in a couple months. They were re-signing it, and they were grading it and doing all kinds of work. But
You know Juan has retired.
I do.
Yeah.
But... do we want to bring them back up to see? Because it's the end of summer now. I'm sure that they're at the end of their construction, how far they went.
Well, I think what we could do, John, is we could ask Tamar to contact...
Ann Bollinger.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ann Bollinger.
It is, okay. Maybe we could ask Ann to come and just...
give us an update.
Just give us an update and also where they are with all of the comments they received on the open space. Plan.
Yeah.
Your timing is really great because they have a workshop and an open space special meeting regarding some of the comments coming up on next Monday.
Okay.
There's a couple of meetings that day. Isn't there just a couple of times that day when you're going to... Mm-hmm.
All I know is they're having a special open space meeting, so I'm there. So.
This coming?
I just know.
A week from today? Is that
it's the 15th, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 6:30. If you guys want, I can forward you the agenda.
Yes, please.
Okay, I will do that.
So September 16th or 15th?
15th. I'm just checking my calendar just to make sure that's...
And is that the open space advisory?
Yes.
Because I know that last week the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee had a meeting on that also.
They did it last week. This one is a special meeting.
Okay.
Agenda comes out tomorrow morning. I can forward it to you as soon as I get it, if that's...
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it.
No, I'll do that. No problem.
Okay.
The other thing that you guys had requested was a BLM speaker.
Yes.
You got a new, we got a new...
A new district manager.
Yeah.
They do?
It's sharp as a tack.
District manager, isn't it, field?
Well,
the Carson.
No, they got a district. Well, I don't know if that. Yeah, they have a new district manager. Field office manager, I think, still.
Don't they have that broken into two fields, east and west?
Yeah, east and west fields. Right. Yeah, offices.
So who's our side, the western field manager?
The Sierra Front, what they call the Sierra Front field office.
Okay. Now, doesn't that go all the way to north of Reno?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, it covers this side of the field office covers all the way up Halley Junction and a little bit further, and then all the way down. Let me think how they drew the line. I think just down to Topaz, and it has Lyon and Story. I believe Story counties, yeah. And Churchill's and Mineral are basically the other office.
Okay. So what would you like to do with BLM?
Well, I don't know what their plan is. I mean, we had them here once before, and
every time they come get a new guy, the plan dies.
The plan dies, yeah.
And they make a new one.
It's deja vu all over again.
So we haven't seen a plan for 6 years.
Do they have a resource management plan that's being developed, or do they have one in place? They're just going off of the old one.
They're going, that's a yes and yes.
Okay. So what we would like to do is to get the Bureau of Land Management to come to give us an update on their regional plan.
I don't think they're going to be able to say
sure. Like, flashback.
I'm trying to find the contact name.
The only one that,
that
they really have on paper
came
is
and
the one
spoke
that's
to a
little lady.
It's older than
this
before I came.
This last time. One time we had a lady come in from BLM and talk about the wild horse stuff.
Right.
Probably a year ago or so.
See, the only person I know at BLM is Corinne Francis, and she is the Carson office forester as well as the state forester. And she's doing some great stuff regarding some pinyon juniper thinnings in the pine nut range. And she'd be a great person to talk about enhancing wildlife because that's part of their criteria, and they now have built into all of their check boxes, does it provide benefit for sage grouse, especially the interstate herds.
The new contact name is Leon Thomas. He's the field manager for the Carson District. The LA Sierra Front Office. Came and spoke, and I asked.
Well, it'd be 885-6000, then you ask for him.
Yeah,
was
his
it Juan's retirement party,
Thomas.
I think, was it?
What's Leon's?
Was he?
Yeah.
What's Leon's last name?
Thomas, Thomas.
He was a gentleman of color.
Field manager for the Carson City BLM Sierra Front Office, Front Field Office.
885-6000?
That's okay. The
main line. That's it. Okay. I'll call him and see if he'll come. All right.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he said that he would be happy to talk to anybody when he came and presented, so.
Okay, cool.
And it was just a public comment thing. He just came to the meeting.
Okay. Future agenda items. Any other?
Can I clarify something on Ash Canyon? What would you like to know about Ash Canyon?
I was just using that as an example. I think if they come in and talk about the new open space stuff they're looking at, they're going to have their hands full.
I think we've had that already when Juan came last time and talked about it. So what I heard you guys say is you wanted to know what the comments were on the management plan.
Right, and how they're incorporating those and how we can assist them.
Okay. Do you want specifics on Ash Canyon? Because Anne can be prepared, but I just have to tell her that she needs to bring some Ash Canyon data.
Well, and what we had, John, when Juan was here, were you
for
at,
sure.
Okay. Were you at both meetings? Because he was here
just
last
one.
Time, too.
No.
They have a
maintenance plan that they've been developing, they have developed for Ash Canyon. So what I think she could do is have her please give an update on the maintenance activities in Ash Canyon and what they will be, what their lessons learned were, and what will be on their plate for next year. Okay? And then just then also to continue our discussion from our advisory board with all the other advisory boards on getting comments on the open space management plan, especially when it comes to utilizing open space in compliance with things that we've been learning about, like retriever and dog training.
She may not have that on her plate yet, but I'll give her a heads up on it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Doug, one last thing. Whatever happened, didn't we collar a bunch of deer up here?
Mm-hmm.
Is that study finished?
Yes. In fact, there was a really good presentation at the last commission meeting. Mm-hmm. On all of that. They have found out so much.
By the deer herd?
About just not our deer herd, but all the deer herd they've been collaring.
Right.
And, in fact, that's online, John.
Okay.
And that was a really good presentation.
Was it found to be a lot of, is it mostly the ones that are staying in the area, or are we really getting?
Yes. Answer is yes, both. Okay. There's some mule deer that don't go more than 2 miles from where they were born to where they die.
Really?
And then there's some that, I don't know how they got over there. I think they swam. There's some deer that they collared that they found over in, what's that ski resort, Homewood?
North Star.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, no, Homewood.
Homewood, Jimmy.
Yeah, so I guess they swam across, or they took the ferry. I don't know.
It's a long walk around.
Yeah.
It's a long way.
They went on a walkabout.
Bruce did.
Yeah. Speaking of those, I have found, observed 3 dead mule deer in the last 2 weeks on Highway 28, and they're all within a mile of each other. They're right there. Do you know where the road to Skunk Harbor is? All right, you're going from Spooner towards Sand Harbor. Go down about a mile down the road, and there's a pull-off on the left, and right there on the left, you always see people parked there,
yeah.
They're hiking downhill.
Right.
That's the turnoff to Skunk Harbor. Go about another quarter mile, half a mile, on the right-hand side, the uphill side, there's a meadow and a pond in there and a whole open area.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're crossing, and that's where I've seen 3 dead in the last 2 weeks. So that's too bad. Anyway, item number 13, public comment. I'm sorry, we're going to have to get on our agendas tomorrow for you to say anything. Are we doing anything? So can you say under public comment where we're at with your office? Do you see any concerns? Do you have any concerns?
No, I just want to make sure that all of you took the... I can hear myself, it drives me crazy. Open meeting, if you haven't taken it, it's online now. I'm sure you all did, and I appreciate that.
Four
of us were there.
The four of us were there.
We were on there.
If you need a refresher or anything like that, it's online.
Okay.
Open meeting law.
And from the
from my office, we're all just trying to get all the minutes and all the recordings organized. It's just been a big house cleaning from our end, and everything's going to be online from now on.
Well, I appreciate your format and your timeliness on getting minutes out. Having them attached to the packet we get, so thank you very much.
I have more hours now, so I can do it. I was trying to do 14 commissions and 20 and hours a week.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other public comments?
Last public comment from C.K. Bailey. I'm going to get my mail out of my mailbox last week. 10 large bucks, some with felt. are marching through my neighborhood at that little park, you know, the little, yeah. And that's where they reside, back and forth. They're coming in off the hills. They're coming in for the fruit. They're nibbling on the trees. And these bucks, they were all bucks, no doe. They were huge.
Where is this park?
No, off of Winnie to the yeah, south of Winnie, right?
Yeah, just below the WNC.
Yeah.
And well, where the old hospital is, just north of that.
Yeah.
And my goodness, they're huge.
Well, this
and they were all getting along, which was really strange.
This is the time of year the bachelor herds live together.
So. Those bucks have been here all year. They have not just come down. They've been living in that field. I have a friend who's got pictures of them when they were this big and pictures now that they're this big. He's got their whole growth pattern.
It's unreal.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Every week he gets a picture of them.
Well, thank you. Any other public comment?
No, I was going to say one thing. We now have the no feeding the wild game statute.
Right.
There are some people who are witnessing this feeding that is going on still in certain parts, not in our jurisdiction, but are afraid to report it because of the repercussions of the personal attacks that they might receive. And so is there a way that they can
you and I both have access to that through our hunter education, and that's to stop poaching. And you can call that number and just report it.
Because it's going to be going to be a fatality the way things are going. I saw pictures and went, no way. This is
well. I would advise them just to call that number because it's just a reported message, and you just say
this and this,
and goodbye. Right.
Well, and unfortunately, they're doing it in such a discreet way; it can only be seen from one angle, and that's the angle that this individual sees. And so, if anything, they know that if anybody confronts those individuals about this happening, there's going to be repercussions. And I don't know if there's legal. I mean, there's harassment laws and things that she can. You know, I'm being harassed by my neighbor because I reported him type thing, but it's not enough. She's not willing to take that chance right now, and it's unfortunate because this bear is literally going in the woman's house. And
I know what you're talking about.
In the house. Yeah. She's got video of this, pictures of it.
I would certainly encourage her to.
I can call. It's anonymous. If I can get the address, I can call.
On that note, as a part of public comment, the last. Meeting of the Carson Fly Fishing Club had Rob Beamer of Operation Game Thief there, mm-hmm. and he gave a very good presentation. Plus, they have a video of what to do, and you know, if any, if you're a member of any organization, I think it'd be well worth it to contact them and have them come and give a presentation to the people. It's just
it gets
the word out. Yeah,
it's on your flash drive.
It might be something that you might want to think about for
the video?
Your outdoor education.
Yeah, they have it on the Indo website too.
Yeah, it's on the Hunter. It's part of the HETLs that they're using. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was good.
Mm-hmm. Any other public comment? I am looking for a motion on item number 14. Adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that. Any other discussion on that? Public comment? all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks a lot, Dad.